one second. I'll find it. I've got so much. I mean, we could go for days here. Okay.
Well, I just started a third segment, so.
Well, praise God.
And, you know, I want to touch, while you're looking, yeah, I want to touch on the exaggeration deal.
Okay.
So, some of y'all know that I have guardianship of one of my grandson.
Okay.
And when I first got him, he needed a lot of work.
Yes, yes.
And now he's 10.
Okay.
And he's in school. He's in the third grade.
Okay.
And he tends to exaggerate.
Okay.
Like when he comes in from school, I have rules set in place.
Yes.
And I ask him before he gets a soda pop or something sugary, I want to know how much water have you drank.
Okay.
How many times did you have to refill your water bottle at school, baby?
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
And he come in one day and he says, oh, Grandma, I filled it 5 or 6 times. And I'm like, what? From 2 o'clock, wait a minute. From 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you refilled that water bottle 5 or 6? No.
No.
No. I smell something.
Mm-hmm.
And no. And so I said, no, sir. You cannot have a soda pop.
Okay.
And then he begins to backtrack.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
And the Lord put on my heart to correct his exaggerations.
Wow.
And then call them what they are. They are lies. Period.
That's good.
And so me trying to explain to a 10-year-old that, dude, that's a gross exaggeration.
Yes.
And then, I mean, in the middle of talking to him, mm-hmm. the Lord said, no, you call it what it is. That was a lie.
Wow. That's good.
Don't minimize the action.
Yes.
To make it appear
not
so bad.
Wow.
And when I called the lie an exaggeration, I minimized what he had done.
Mm.
And so I had to know, I had to make a correction and say, buddy, this is how it is.
Wow.
Now you don't get a pop today at all.
Yes.
Because Grandma asked you a simple question.
Yes.
And you took it upon yourself to grossly exaggerate, which is a lie.
Yes.
Your exaggerations are a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have a consequence for this.
Yes.
And it was like, it really opened some stuff up for me.
Wow.
In myself, you know, because
that's good.
How often do we exaggerate something?
Yes, yes, yes.
And it just really opened my eyes to,
that's good.
Okay, be aware of when you exaggerate, because
that's
a lie.
So good.
It's
good.
And then you minimize it to yourself. Oh, I just exaggerated the truth just a little bit.
Just a little.
It's still gross, and it's still a lie.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's good, that's good, that's good. Okay, last verse I want to say, Proverbs 18:8, as we get ready to close, we know that, that, you know, sadly, so many times in the church can be the very place where slander, accusation, and all these things go forward, and it's sad, but it's true, and it's because we're human. It's because the flesh is enticed by those things. I was hearing about, you know, how many times do you even, like, I was hearing, I think it was in this book where it said that basically even the Christian circle has its own juicy tabloids, okay? We you know, some pastor messes up, and what do? We blast it for everybody to know. We trash them, pull them into the ground, and that's not pleasing to God. It's not. It's not. What we reap is what we sow. I mean, what we sow is what we reap. Amen. And so I'm telling you, I don't want to reap that. That's not to say there aren't things that we have to deal with at times, but but we are to cover one another. What did he say? One of the passage talks about basically looking over sin, but even covering someone's sin. You're not exposing people. Satan is the exposer. He's the accuser. He goes before God to talk about everything you've done wrong. So what are we doing when we're talking about someone and everything they've done wrong? We are literally letting the accuser come through us and do his work. And it's not pleasing to God. And I've been sadly used this way, and I don't want to be used that way. But how can we know lest God show us? This is not anything to shame any of us. This is so God can set us free. Amen. Proverbs 18:8 says this. Actually, I'll just back up to 7 because it's so good. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, I want you to understand this. The devil is a liar, okay? A talebearer is a liar, okay? I have seen people who are, you know, casting out demons and stuff like that, enter into conversations with the demons, you know, like, you know, what's your name? And, you know, and they say, well, Jesus did it. And I say, you better not enter into a conversation with a demon, you know, and they start talking and chit chatting. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar, and anything he says to you is a lie. He's a liar. So you can't enter into a conversation with him. But so let's look at this from this point of view. The words of Satan, the serpent, the one who sends the divination, who whispers and hisses divination into your ears, the one who comes to gossip, the one who comes to slander through another person, okay? The words of that person, the words of Satan himself operating through whoever he's operating through, whether it comes into my ear personally or whether it comes through another vessel into my ear, the words of Satan, because he's a liar, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let me say this. When that stuff comes to you, it is coming to wound you. Sometimes we think we're innocent because we're just listening. I'm not saying it. I'm just hearing it. No. It came to wound you. The words of a talebearer are to wound you. The words of a liar are to wound you and I. So we have to take this serious, saints. We can't think, well, I'm just listening. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to entertain it and all that. No, no, it is. Jesus didn't even entertain it. He shut it down immediately. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, maybe next month I can give you a little more about what that looks like. But what I can tell you is that Jesus used the word, and that's what I'm practicing doing. Now, what do we do when there's real need here, okay? Because sometimes, especially as pastors, you know, we have people that come and they need counsel and they need prayer. And I believe those things are different. I believe, number one, I've learned through the years, if I'm having an issue, I always go to the Lord with it, with prayer. Because a lot of times you can tell the difference. There are two types of situations. One is where someone comes and they don't really, because I've done it before, I don't necessarily need prayer. I just want to talk about it. So I just use it in the form of that, hey, would you pray about this, blah, 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 and then I release it, but I don't really want prayer. It doesn't, you know, I've already prayed about it. It's not even that. It's just I'm trying to release something because I'm just talking about it, okay? That is not right, right? We know that's not right. There are times that we genuinely need prayer, and we are to lift one another up in prayer. And those situations, we can talk to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, I need this. But we've got to talk to the right people, okay? Because some people are not ready to hear what you're going to say. Sometimes you can talk to a person that it gets in their heart. And I've experienced it, but I've watched it a lot as a pastor. Someone will say something that sounds religious to another person, but then it gets into that person's heart and their heart turns away. Their perception of that person that you were coming and complaining about actually causes them to turn away from that person too. And that is not God's heart. And so I think what we've got to do is make sure that we've prayed about it first, right? Let God deal with us, okay? And then if it's not going away, go to someone who we know is able to handle this. Someone who is not going to let this cause them to turn their heart toward that person in a wrong way, okay? So just do that. And I pray today that we really take a moment to reflect on our conversations. Really just reflect on them and say, God, what am I furthering? What agenda am I advancing? What kingdom am I furthering by my conversations? We have to put the flesh to death. We have to crucify the deeds of the flesh. And it's the flesh that loves to gossip. It's the flesh that loves to slander. But it's the accuser showing up. And so we've got to shut it down. So I want to encourage you today. God is setting us free. I've been set free. Amen. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Because how can I be set free lest what's going on be exposed? So unmasking the accuser is what God is doing in this hour. And I believe it's because he's calling us to walk in greater authority. And he knows, the devil knows it. He's been teaching us about authority. He knows that if we walk in authority, in the God-given authority we have in Jesus' name, he's not going to get the victory over us anymore. So he's got to come in and do something. So when you start seeing yourself bombarded with slander, with accusation, with gossip, when people are just surrounding you and it's everywhere you turn, you better know the enemy is showing up because he's trying to strip you of your position, your influence, and your authority. So take authority over the devil and shut it down. Even if you just got to walk away. You say, hey, I gotta go over here. And you walk away. Hey, I'll talk to you about that later. I got to go. And you just get away from it, okay? And we're, like I said earlier, I didn't get to say this, and I'll say this. We in our church, we're working on a phrase that we can say, okay? We're trying to get a phrase together saying, Holy Spirit, what's the phrase? And I think it was my sister had said, I can't remember what it was she said. But she said, let's say remember the cost. So whenever somebody comes up and starts to say something, we say, wait, remember the cost. We hold each other accountable. Let's say it anytime we start to enter into this conversation. Let's say, remember the cost. And what will happen is it can be a light phrase so that it can be light. Hey, remember the cost. You know, it doesn't have to be remember the cost, you know, like, hey, help me remember the cost. So if you say that, then it makes it lighter. The person will remember. I'm able to remember. We pull it back into a right place. And then new believers, when they come in, they go, what's this remember the cost about? And you're able to help them. Come on. So that they can be trained up in that too. Because the devil has been destroying the churches of God. And when are we going to stand up and say no more? When are we going to come together and say, no, you ain't talking about my brother and sister no more. You ain't going to do that no more, devil. Get out of here in Jesus' name. When are we going to stand up for the body of Christ? Let me say it this way. When are we going to stand up for Jesus? Because we are his body. He's the head and we're the body. When are we going to defend Christ? When are we going to see our brothers and sisters of Christ? See, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Why am I not looking at you as if it's Christ himself walking? Would I speak this way about Christ? No. So I want to change my perception about the body. I want to change my heart toward the body. Amen. So may we grow in this and walk in this and the Lord accomplish this in us. We can't do it in ourselves, but we can become aware of it and ask God to change it in us. He said, I will cause you to walk in my ways. So that's what I'm trusting in. Amen.
Amen. So we have one more prayer request in. Sister Nancy Elwood asked us to pray for her this morning. She's not feeling great.
Oh, Nancy, we love you. The Lord loves you. And he is able to, he not only paid the price for your healing, but he's able to right now set you free
and
from
she,
it.
And she says, y'all come out to the prayer shed. We all need this.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's so cute. Okay, Nancy, we love you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, that you are with Nancy. You're not just with Nancy, but you're in Nancy. And greater is he that is in Nancy than he that is in the world. So any sickness trying to come up on her does not compare to the one who is in her, the life that is in her. So right now, Father, we come against all sickness, all infirmity, all exhaustion. God, anything that's causing her to be be robbed of the life you gave her. Right now, Father, we ask that you set her free from it. Right now, we rebuke the devourer who came up to steal her life in Jesus' name. We say, no more, Satan. We put our foot down. We use our authority and say, no, Nancy belongs to the Lord Almighty. She's his daughter, and you must leave her right now. Right now, we are, as brothers and sisters in Christ, seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we use our authority and we say, daughter, you are loosed from this infirmity. You are loosed from sickness. You are loosed from disease. You are loosed from exhaustion in Jesus' name. And right now, we bind the life of God to you. May the life of God overtake any sickness, any infirmity. I thank you, God, that you have accomplished what needs to be done on the cross so that she could go free from all sickness, exhaustion, anything that would come up against her health. You already made provision for. And so right now, we thank you for it, God. We send it forth to her. And God, we thank you that she has received it by faith, that her body is turning around. And I hear the Spirit say this, Nancy. I hear the Spirit say, rest. The Lord said, rest. Today, let today be a day of rest, Nancy. It's okay sometimes to just rest. So let yourself rest and recover. You are healed in Jesus' name. Now let yourself rest and recover. God, we thank you that today will be a day of rest for Nancy. That's what I saw. You know, sometimes the Lord says, rise and walk. Remember this, the woman who was sick, and the Lord said, he healed her, and he said, she got up and started cooking. But I heard the Lord say, Nancy, you need to rest today. So I don't know what you got on your table. I don't know what is on your plans, but I heard the Lord say, rest. So take this day and rest. We don't move outside of God's plan. We stick to what God said. And so there's a reason for it. I don't know what it is, but God said he's giving you a supernatural rest today. So we speak that over your life and over your health right now in Jesus' name. And Father, as we close this today, we thank you for exposing, unmasking the accuser. God, we ask you to forgive us, Father, for any area where we've allowed the accuser to come in and use us to really sow his seeds of and deposit his evil, diabolical plans in the hearts of other people. God, we ask you to forgive us. And Father, we just ask you to teach us and show us when we're coming up against the accuser, when he's coming to operate through us or coming to speak to us. God, I ask you to expose him. Make it so plain that we're not confused anymore. Teach us how to shut that down in a way that is loving, but at the same time does not entertain things we shouldn't entertain. God, teach us how to walk this out. And so, Father, I ask you to just begin to help us to examine our conversations, examine what we're listening to, what we're taking in. God, so that we can not be deceived by the enemy, that we're no longer naive to the way he operates and his works, what he's coming to do. But God, that we're very much aware, and we are men and women of God who walk in authority and shut the enemy down so that he cannot infiltrate our lives and infiltrate your body anymore. I'm hearing the Spirit say, it stops with me today. Saints, it has to be you who says, it stops with me today. If every vessel, every child of God would say that thing, it stops with me today, there would no longer be any avenue for the enemy to come in and destroy the body of Christ. So it starts with me. It starts with you. Today, let it be us who says, I won't do it anymore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and you know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome sister in Christ, Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
Amen.
Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.